Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
We want to welcome you to a special series that we're doing this month called Love It and List It. Not to be confused with the Home and Garden program, Love It or List It. We're not saying if you don't love your spouse, you list them, okay? No, we're not saying that. But I firmly believe God wants you to not only love your spouse, but love your marriage, to enjoy your marriage. And what we're going to be doing the next few weeks is we're going to be looking at a list of traits of what love is. I guarantee you, if you put these traits into practice in your home, in your relationship, you will love your marriage. By the way, this list is actually an acrostic of the word love, L-O-V-E. And so today, we're going to take a look at love and start to list it, start to define it, so we can know how to have a great, exciting, fulfilling marriage. Open your Bible or turn on your smartphones to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's also known as the love chapter, so it's a very fitting place to start. But the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians about what love is, and we're going to look and apply it to our marriage relationships. Now, some of you, if you're new to us, maybe you're kind of thinking, well, why are you talking about marriage? Well, why aren't you talking about God? Maybe you grew up never going to church, and so your concept of church is just all about God, or maybe the church you went to never talked about marriage. I remember growing up, I went to church all the time. I don't remember ever hearing anything about marriage in church. Here's what I know. God is concerned about every area of our lives. And that includes our marriages. In fact, marriage is so important. Not only does he sprinkle things in all throughout the Word about marriage, but there is an entire book in the Old Testament called Song of Solomon that's about marriage. And marriage is important to God. And we're going to be taking a look at that these next few weeks as we learn about how to have a great marriage. Now, some of you, you'd say, well, I'm not married. I'm single, or I'm a teenager, I'm a student. You know what? If you plan on getting married, you want to learn about these things. Some of you say, I ain't never getting married. Well, we're going to talk about some practical things between our relationship with God and us, because here's the thing. God models for us, with the illustration of marriage, his relationship with us. And so we're going to be looking at some practical things, even in our own relationship with God. So our prayer is that there is some way, somehow, this will impact your life. Let's take a look at the first letter in the word love, the letter L. If you have your sermon notes this morning, they're in your bulletins. The letter L stands for loyal. The letter L stands for loyal. And the definition of loyal is unswerving in allegiance, faithful to one's oath, commitments, or obligations. Now, keeping that definition in mind, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. And in particular, we're going to pick it up at verse 7. Paul wrote, "Love bears all things." Say all with me. "It believes all things, it hopes, endures all things. Love never fails." You know, when I read those verses, that's really a definition of loyalty. No matter what happens, I'm going to believe that we can make it through. I'm going to hope in you all the time. I'm going to bear all things. I'm going to endure all things. My love for you will never fail. That's what love is, and that is a great definition of loyalty. It is unswerving commitment. It's faithfulness in your vows, in particular, your marriage vows. When you think of the marriage vows, the marriage vows just reek of loyalty and commitment. What do you normally hear at a wedding? "For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse. I mean, you're talking about the opposite ends of the spectrum. What the marriage vows say is whether we're going great or whether things are not going great, we are going to be loyal no matter where we fall in that spectrum. And that's the first key to married love, to having a marriage that you enjoy. Because here's the thing. Some people, they look at marriage and they think of it as a bug zapper. Anytime something joyful, something pleasant, something nice gets near marriage, and it's gone. Marriage is drudgery. It's boring. It's a burden. Friends, God never intended marriage to be a killjoy. Instead, it is to be the most joyful, most fulfilling, most fruitful relationship you have on the planet. Marriage is to be exciting and encouraging and exhilarating. One amen. We really need this series. 3 years ago, it's been 3 years now, when my wife started experiencing numbness and tingling in her fingers, and it went to her extremities and her face, and she began to have extreme fatigue and kind of difficulty with balance and then walking, and by July, she could not walk on her own. She had facial tics and tremors, and her head was bobbling, and it was a very serious time. We went to doctors. We went to Mayo Clinic, and they couldn't find anything wrong. Thankfully, God touched her supernaturally and also through natural medicines both, but he touched her and has healed her, and today she's only thing she has a little bit of fatigue and begins to feel it if she's doing too much, and I just thank God he gave me my wife back. But you know what? During that time, those wedding vows, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, they take on a whole new meaning. Because there's a lot of times she was in bed all day, or she would, you know, she'd get up, she would shower, and by the time she'd shower and get ready, she was exhausted. And there was times cooking, cleaning, shopping, running the kids, Mr. Mom, I was doing a lot of that stuff, most of that stuff. And in that time, did I get tired and weary? Yeah. Were there times I was frustrated? You better believe it. But here's the thing. I loved my wife, and there was no way I was going to quit on our marriage in that difficult time. Love never fails. It bears all things. It endures all things. And here's the thing. If you and I are going to have a fulfilling marriage, a great marriage where we love it, then we have got to settle this issue first and foremost of loyalty to our spouse. That it really does mean till death do us part. It's not when the going get tough, the frustrated get going. You hang in there. You stick it out. You are loyal to your spouse no matter what. Believe all things. Bear all things. Endure all things. It is all or nothing. I don't gamble, but hey, in marriage, you need to go all in. Because that's what it is. Somebody know marriage can be a gamble. That's why you, for young people, you need to pray, you need to seek God, and you better be good, well, and sure that this is the person God wants for you, because it's till death do you part. God hates divorce. God does not want you to endure the pain, the suffering of a broken marriage. And so, young people, you be passionate and loyal to God, and you look for someone else who's passionate and loyal to God. That creates a foundation to build off of. That's not everything. You got to do more than that. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But you need to look for someone who's on fire for God. All the parents said, amen. Parents, that means we need to model that passion for God, because it's more caught than taught. And if we don't have a passion for God, our kids probably won't have a passion for God, and we will bring that. We will, by our example, we're setting them up to not go for someone that has a commitment to Christ that says, no matter what, I'm going to stick this out and work through it. So I encourage you, parents, you have a loyalty in your commitment to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 4 and 5, it says, love is patient, love is kind. I remember when my wife was having her problems, I had to be patient. I had to be kind. There were times I was frustrated. I just felt like flying off the handle. I couldn't do that. See, that's part of being loyal. It talks about, in the verse, love, it does not dishonor others. The decisions we make, the words we say, are honoring to our spouse all the time. That's part of loyalty. It is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. When I'm looking out for myself, I'm only being loyal to me. I'm not being loyal to anyone else. All these things in Corinthians talk about loyalty. If you'd sum up love in one word, according to 1 Corinthians, you could put it under the banner of loyalty. Love is being loyal. That's the first quality. Now, I want to give you some practical ways in your notes of how do we cultivate loyalty in our marriage. Letter A in your notes, deal with little issues right away. Deal with the small things, the little things, the things that don't seem like they're very big. Deal with them right away. How many of you heard the old adage, the little foxes spoil the vine? Raise your hand. Yeah, pretty common saying. Do you know where that comes from? It comes from the Bible. You know where particularly it comes in the Bible? Song of Solomon. That book we said a few moments ago that God wrote about marriage. That's where that saying comes from. What Solomon was saying as he was teaching on marriage is that those little irritations, those little frustrations, you need to take care of them. You need to kill the little foxes. Let me just say, no animals were harmed during the creation of this message, okay? But those little problems, you need to nip them in the bud, because here's the thing, the little foxes, they will nip away and nibble at the intimacy of your relationship and break off a vine. They spoil the vines that produce richness and fullness. And if you let a lot of little foxes in the vineyard of your marriage, you're not going to have any fruitfulness eventually. Many times, those big things in marriage, many times when couples come to me and say, hey, we want marriage counseling, they have mountains in their marriage that seem impossible to remove. You know what a lot of times those mountains are? They are molehills with just another shovel of dirt on it that never got taken care of. A little thing here, a misunderstanding here, you hurt my feelings here. And as that shovel of dirt gets piled on over weeks, months, years, what was a molehill is now a mountain. And that's why we need to deal with the little issues today. Is there a little thing in your marriage right now that's just grating on you? Either let go of it and forgive it, or discuss it and work it out if you feel you just can't overlook it. Because the little foxes destroy the vines. Here's the thing. You say, Craig, I'm past the molehill, I'm past the little foxes, I've got the great big bad wolf, we've got a mountain in our marriage. Here's the thing, we serve a God who moves mountains. We serve an all-powerful God. With God, all things are possible, nothing is impossible. What's the theme of our year, 2018, what's our theme? God defies the odds. Friends, I don't care what's going on in your marriage. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how big the mountain seems to be. God defies the odds. He can speak to the mountain, and it's thrown down and cast into the sea, and down, down, down into the ocean it goes, never to be seen again. There is no obstacle, no problem, no barrier in your marriage that's too difficult for God to overcome if you are willing to have faith. Faith says, I can speak to the mountain and is moved, but you've got to be willing. If you're not willing, it's not going to happen. And some of you say, you don't know the hurt and the pain I've got, Craig. I'm not willing to forgive. I'm not willing to work through. Then you know what? You will fail. If you're not willing, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I'm not willing, but make me willing to be willing. Okay? You need to pray that. For some of you, you're not willing. You need to say, God, change my heart. Make me willing to be willing. Some of you are starting at ground zero, trying to repair your marriage, but you've got to be willing. If you are willing, anything can happen. You want two words for success? This is free. It's not in your notes. Write this down. I'm going to give you the two words for success. Word number one is God. Word number two is try. If you have God and He's first and foremost in your life, and you're trying with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength to follow Him, honor Him, and do His way, God and try, you will be a success. And so cultivate this kind of a commitment that, God, I am going to take care of mountains and molehills. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, be angry. How many say, I can do that? I can be angry. I've got that one down pat, man. But he says, and do not sin. Here's the thing about anger. Getting angry doesn't mean that you're wrong. Anger is like the warning light on your car dash when something goes wrong. That's what anger is like. It's a warning light that something's not right in the relationship, either with you or with your spouse. Anger is a warning light. And so when you get angry, then don't sin. Don't cuss him out. Don't dishonor him. Don't quit. Don't say, well, if you do, then I'm going to retaliate and take revenge. No, don't sin. And Paul said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the day set till you deal with the little fox, till you deal with the stuff that wants to pile up. Because if you do, look what happens. You're giving place to the devil. When you don't deal with the little stuff, you are opening the door for the devil to come into your marriage and to booby trap it, to sabotage it. So deal with the little stuff. That's how you cultivate love and loyalty in your marriage. Point number two is guard your friendships. The second way we cultivate loyalty in our marriage is to guard our friendships. In the article, Five Friends That Will Break Your Marriage, Angela Guzman asked this question. She says, are your friends causing your marriage to deteriorate? She says, married couples have a different dynamic when it comes to their friends because there's always an added measure of checks and balances. There's greater accountability. Your marriage is the one friendship that should always come first. Your marriage should be the number one friendship you have. And she gives five destructive relationships that try to break our marriage. Number one is the stage five clinger friend. That's a phrase made popular in the movie The Wedding Crashers. But basically, the clinger friends, this is the person who wants to stick to you like glue. They want to be with you 24/7. It's a friend who's always calling you and wants to spend time with you, dividing you from your spouse. It's the friend that is maybe dropping by unannounced and say, I'm here, I'm ready for the party. And they're always around you, and so it keeps you from having alone time, intimacy time, time to talk, time to do things together with your husband or wife. And if you have a friend like that that's crowding into your marriage and taking up the time, you need to set up healthy boundaries. You need to set aside time where you need to call and have permission before you come over. You just can't stop by. You just can't show up on it. Here, don't tell them what you're doing for date night. Yeah, we're going out to Applebee's for date night, and they show up at Applebee's. Oh, hi, and they sit down at the table, okay? Top secret classified information, okay? You don't let anyone know that. There are some people that are clingers, not corporal clinger, okay? But they're clingers in your life, and you need to put up barriers and keep them at a good distance, all right? The second friendship you need to guard against is people with differing morals or ethics. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, It's important for your friends to respect that. And moreover, you want to surround yourself with people that share your views. Because here's the thing, if they're negative towards Christianity, negative towards marriage, negative towards commitment and that kind of thing, if they're opposed to Jesus Christ and following Him, then that is going to weigh you down. You want to surround yourself with positive Christian relationships. That's why being in a life group is so important. You get to know people. So many times we come to church, we don't know anybody, and we come in, we worship, and we leave, and we're really strangers to each other. We need to develop healthy, genuine Christian friendships. People that we can hang out with, people that can support us, people that will pour positive things into our marriage. The third destructive friendship are liars. People, they constantly lie. There are some people, they get their happiness from making everybody else happy, and they do that by setting up lies, pitting people against each other. And you do not want someone who is lying, telling lies about your spouse, telling lies to your spouse, someone who is being very negative and pulling your marriage down. That can cause a rift between you and your husband or wife. The fourth relationship is people who talk badly about the opposite sex. Sometimes someone's been abused, maybe they've had a bad relationship, or they're just going through a tough time, and whatever it was, they've categorized the opposite sex as the enemy. And so now, when you're with them, you know, they're all ears when you're talking about your problems or your frustrations in marriage. This had an obstacle you're facing as a couple. And you know what? They just pour their venom on top of that. And by doing that, that can create a burden that weighs you down and is frustrating. So if there's someone, they're always constantly talking bad about the opposite sex, you want to sever that relationship. And then last of all, number five, a close friend of the opposite sex. A close friend of the opposite sex. Men, if there is a lady that you're doing lunch with, you spend alone time with, or you share very personal things, you're playing with matches and gasoline. Ladies, same thing. Having a friend of the opposite sex that is very, very close to you is so dangerous. The enemy will tempt you. And then you know what's going to happen is when you're having a problem with your spouse and you begin to talk about it and share about it, that other person's going to seem so understanding and so caring. And it's like, you know, your husband is a jerk. Your wife is an idiot for not, you know, seeing your side. And they're going to see your side. And you're going to be getting closer to them. You'll begin to share more and more, and it's causing a divide. If you have a friend of the opposite sex that you're close to, you're always going to have a third wheel in your marriage, and there's not going to be an intimacy in your marriage. You need to break that relationship and run like Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife. You need to say, no, my best friend is my spouse. You need to guard your friendships to be loyal in your marriage. The third point of cultivating marriage, if you're taking notes today, is be surrendered to Christ and invest in your marriage. Be surrendered to Christ and invest in your marriage. Here's the thing. If I have loyalty to Jesus, then I'm going to have obedience in my life. And if I have obedience in my life, I'm going to forgive my spouse. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to apologize when I do something wrong. I'm going to try to work things out. If I'm being loyal to Jesus, that should flow over into loyalty to my spouse. And so having an on-fire relationship with God is essential for you to be loyal in your marriage. Being a person that's spending time in the presence of Christ through reading the Word and praying, Because as you do that, it's going to change you, and you're not going to be like yourself. You're not going to be like Craig. You're not going to be like Neil. You're not going to be like Sandy. You're going to be more like Jesus. And so you're going to treat your spouse and others more like Jesus. So being loyal to Christ and passionate about Him is essential, but being spiritual does not necessarily equate to having a great marriage. Let me give you an example. How do you know people that are very spiritual, love God, but they have horrible money management habits? How many know people like that? And do they have, and what's their finances like? Horrible. Yeah. You see, just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you have good money management habits. How about this? I'm going to know someone who's spiritual, but they've got health problems because they have poor health habits. My diet is a box of Twinkies, Swiss cake rolls, Dr. Pepper, you know, a six-pack of Dr. Pepper every day. How many know if that's your diet, you're going to have problems with your health? Yeah, just because you're spiritual does not mean the other areas of your life. You have to have healthy health habits, healthy financial habits, and you need to have healthy marital habits. Because being spiritual but having bad, unhealthy habits in marriage will not give you a good marriage. And that's why it's being loyal to Jesus and investing in your marriage. A.W. Tozer was a pastor, a preacher, evangelist who wrote many books, including The Pursuit of God and The Knowledge of the Holy. He's a great author. I love to read his books. He's very deep, great insights into God. And he loved to pray, study, write, and prepare sermons, yet in his great love for Jesus, that love did not relate to his wife and his children. A recent biography was done about his life, and it's called A Passion for God. And these revelations came out. We've got the quotes on the screen for you. One of his children said this, that, and all seven children felt somewhat estranged from their father. Lowell, the oldest, sardonically stated that his mother was a single parent. A.W. Tozer's wife said, "My husband was so close to God, a man of such deep prayer, always on his knees, that he could not communicate with me or our family. No one knew what a lonely life I had, especially after the kids left home." What's sad is that near the end of A.W. Tozer's life, it was overheard him commenting to a pastor saying, "I have had a lonely life." Both Aiden and Ada Hoser, Tozer, had a lonely life. The last quote there is, "A year after he died, his wife remarried, and from 1964 to 1974, several people who were close to Ada lovingly inquired about her happiness. Her responses were consistent. I have never been happier in my life." Aiden loved Jesus Christ, but Leonard Odom, who was her second husband, loves me. Now here's the thing. Ada Tozer, all those years, was never disloyal to her marriage covenant with her husband. She was loyal. She loved him. But you know what? She didn't love her marriage. Just having a great relationship with God does not translate into a fruitful, fulfilling, fun, enjoyable marriage. We have to invest in it. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how to invest in our marriage. But it all starts with this level of commitment. I want to wrap things up with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 29. The last point in your notes this morning is that Christ and the church model loyalty in marriage. Christ and the church model loyalty in marriage. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Boy, that's the S word. We don't like that word, do we? "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25, now he talks to the men. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Verse 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Friends, Jesus loved us and he died for us. Here's sometimes what the concept is. When you think of headship and submission, we get the idea that as the man being the head, he is entitled to being served and that he is superior over the wife. Friends, that's not the case. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it talks about how, yes, the church submits to Christ, but Christ submits to the Father. Now, here's the thing. Is Jesus inferior to the Father? No. The Son and the Father are equal, but the Son has willingly come under the Father's headship, the Father's leadership. They are equal. One's not superior over the other. And in the husband-wife relationship, the husband and wife are equals. They are, as Peter said, heirs together, joint heirs. Not one higher, one lower. They're joint heirs, equal partners in the kingdom of God. It's just that Jesus said, I'm going to follow the Father. Now, here's the thing. In marriage, wives are to submit to the leadership of their father. But men, we're to lay our lives down like Jesus laid his down. What did Jesus do? Did he ever think about what do I want? This is what's best for me? No. In fact, he's in the garden and he's praying. And he's saying, Father, if there's any other way for humankind to come to you, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Husbands, we're servants. We lay down our will. We lay down what we want. We do what's best for our wives and our families and for God. Wives, you're submissive to your husband, just as we as the church. If we're followers of Jesus, then we follow Jesus, right? Isn't that what it means to be a follower? You follow, you obey, you say, yes, Lord. And you see, as the husband is laying his life down and serving, and the wife is submitting and serving, both are serving each other, and you have harmony instead of one saying, well, I'm going to do it my way, and the other one saying, I'm going to do it my way. You know what happens when you say, I'm doing it my way? I am loyal to me, not to you. And so this whole issue of loyalty is the bedrock foundation to having a marriage that you love. So that you don't list your spouse and say, I'm done. I'm going to another house.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.